Hello and welcome to On Mission, a podcast from the Catholic Apostolate Center. My name is Chris Pierno, and I'm joined on the podcast today by Father Frank Donio and Sarah Scalfaro, and we'll be discussing Cenacal spirituality. Well, Father, for those listeners who have been following along on our journey or have been associated and aware of the Catholic Apostolate Center, this is certainly a topic that not only the center has talked about for a long time, but you personally, Father, are certainly very much an expert on it.
Yes, it is pretty central. I mean, in fact, if you go to the landing page of the center, I mean, right there is the image crafted by St. Vincent Pallotti. He wasn't the artist, but he had decided what would be in that image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, a couple of women disciples on either side of her, and the apostles in the upper room or the cenacle. Why cenacle? Because that's in Italian, it's cena or supper. That was the place of the Last Supper. That was the place of the appearance of Jesus after they were locked in the room. That was the place in that first Easter Sunday. That was the place where they prayed and waited after the ascension of the Lord. And they were formed together. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon them at Pentecost. And so it's a spirituality that really is very much connected to the Holy Spirit. And that we talk a lot about in the center, about collaboration and about co-responsibility and mission and all of these things. Well, the only way to know what Christ wants of us is through an awareness of where is the Holy Spirit who He has left us, left the church and all of us, moving us to.
And what is at its core cenacal spirituality, if you want to give like a little overview of what exactly it is, and how does it relate to how we work in and through the church? Maybe a little bit of a deeper dive on that.
It's really an aspect of prayer, of discernment, and of action. And so we're moving in some way, but then we realize, okay, well, is this really what God wants of me? And that puts us maybe in a frame of prayer and discernment, where we're dialoguing with other people, we're at prayer, we're gathering information so that then we can make a proper decision about the action that we take. And it goes back to the early church. You have the apostles particularly. They're there and they gather together and they gather in prayer and they're looking for guidance and they're trying to work through the early issues of the church. Now, one of those major issues was, shall we have Gentiles or not? And that was pretty conflicted. And they had to figure that out. But they didn't figure it out all on their own. They figured it out together with the Holy Spirit and came to it. But they had to debate it. They had to get more information. They had to make a decision. They had to be able to move things in a particular way. And that part is challenging. That part can be really a difficult part, because especially when it might be a bit more horizontal, if you will. So it's we're dialoguing with one another. That's human relating, but including God, including the Holy Spirit, who is God, that's a trialogue. That's where we're involving the Holy Spirit in our conversation, in the way in which we discern, being open to where, hearing the people who are around the table, because they have charisms and gifts and talents that they bring to the conversation. But oftentimes we just want our way. And it might be two good things that we're considering. This is good, and this is good. Well, how do we figure out which one we do? And what does that look like? Or maybe we do a third thing, that because we have dialogued and the Holy Spirit is saying to us, no, you really need to do this. That's really what this is about our prayer, our discernment, and our action, particularly in a group. Now, it also does affect us individually. How do we individually go about that? But it's a lot more complex when it's a group. You know, an organization, a parish, church ministry, an apostolate, whatever it might be. But too often it becomes power plays and, you know, who gets their way, who gets their particular thing. Again, if there might be good things, but is that what God wants? And so cynical spirituality puts the focus on God, on the Holy Spirit guiding the direction.
So we at the center have done a lot of presentations and resourcing around this area, because it does have a very practical nature in terms of, like you said, Father, you know, in ministries within the church and these organizations and how they function, and we're constantly, I feel, as humans, but as also those that are working in the church circles, you know, we're always trying to do more with less. We're trying to work together to bring God and the Holy Spirit into these conversations, as you've discussed. And this is one way in which we can kind of model our decision-making processes and how we organize ourselves. You know, what are some of the examples of how we can use this spirituality to inform how we collaborate together, particularly, you know, within an organization?
So first is prayer. And not just, I mean, I think we've all been in meetings, church-related meetings. We have that opening prayer. We must
There's always prayer.
And we have the beginning and the end. But in the middle, it sometimes just comes across as another nonprofit. And doesn't necessarily come across as, you know, do we even mention God again,
right,
in the conversation? Now, part of that is not that we're sitting there waiting to be infused by the Holy Spirit to tell us what to do, but that's where that discernment comes in. And discernment has various elements. If a group is actually discerning, they're doing dialogue with one another and with others to get as much information as possible. They're making consultation even externally, and they're in really honest dialogue with one another. And so that's the next part, is that dialogue and discussion that is not just simply somebody coming in and pushing their own way, but instead that there is an honest dialogue that occurs. And then they act together. They move forward together. And so there are very practical dimensions to this, and that's where that trialogue is. Or if there's an impasse, to invoke the Holy Spirit and to stop the conversation. If it really gets contentious, to step back and to say, let's just pray for a moment. And that really can, I've seen it happen, where it can break the tension. The story that I often tell is one in an upper room, and it was with superiors of the Palatines, and it was getting pretty contentious, and we weren't getting anywhere. And one of the Palatines, you know, a confrere from Brooklyn, you know, New York, who had a very heavy Brooklyn accent, he said, we're going to stop, and we're going to invoke the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love, and send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. And we just stopped. We prayed. And when we got back to things, it was a very different conversation. Now, psychologists would say you were just simply, you know, breaking the tension and so forth. I think as people of faith, we have to look at it that the Holy Spirit gives us that way forward. Part of that discernment too is, you know, and we say this often in the center, you know, the seven last words of the church, we have always done it this way. And that doesn't mean about big T traditions. It means about stuff that we just do. Okay, it's September, we do this, and it's January, we do that. And it's what, but it's not working anymore. It's not fruitful anymore. The Holy Spirit brings fruitfulness spiritually and in mission. And when it's not being fruitful, or when we keep running into a wall, and you know, we as a center team talk about this a lot. There are times, you know, some people call it entrepreneurship. We call it going with the Holy Spirit. There are times where we'll just kind of taken up something and it takes off. And we say, oh, you know, like what happened there? Well, because that's what the Holy Spirit wanted us to do at that time. But doesn't necessarily mean that that's what we do forever and ever. Amen. So it's important for us to keep going back to what is fruitful. And we talk about this in Living as Missionary Disciples, the USCCB document that we help to work on evangelization, you know, focus on fruitfulness. Because without that, that really gives us what the Holy Spirit shows us, that we're being confirmed in our discernment about the action that we take. But if we keep running into roadblocks, it may well be that wasn't the direction we were supposed to take. Now, there will be those who will be against us. That happens. And there will be forces that are not for what is being done, even if it's right, even if it's what the Holy Spirit wants. However, we also have to look at timing at times with things. And to be very clear, is this what I want? Or is this what the group wants and it becomes groupthink? Or it's really what God wants? And that does take some time and effort, energy, and prayer.
And what was Mary's role in the cenacle, and how can we kind of be inspired by that?
Well, she always went with the will of God. It's interesting that the last time that you see the Blessed Virgin Mary in the scriptures, last time she's mentioned, is in the cenacle with the descent of the Holy Spirit. And then she's never mentioned again in the scriptures. Now, of course, we in our doctrine teach that she was assumed into heaven at the end of her earthly life. But we really don't know what went on after that. Even when they would have these meetings, or you continue on in the Acts of the Apostles, after Pentecost, there is no reference to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's not to say she wasn't there. It's just not referred to. And so, but it was very clearly referred to that she was there at Pentecost. And she was there, very much there, at the Annunciation, the birth, the public ministry of Christ, the foot of the cross, consistently present, consistently open to the will of God, even when she could have despaired when she looked up at her son dying on the cross. But she didn't. She continued to be with the community of faith, the church. And she is mother of the church. And so her role is one, it's interesting where the Palatine fathers and brothers back in the late 1800s, I think it was 1895, had petitioned the Holy See, the Vatican, to approve the feast day, to set the feast day of Mary, Queen of Apostles, our patroness, which is the image is the Blessed Virgin Mary in the cenacle for us. And that is, currently, the Saturday before Pentecost. And interestingly enough, the new feast day that Pope Francis had put in of Mary, Mother of the Church, is the Monday after Pentecost. So you kind of bookend with these feast, even though the Queen of Apostles is not on the universal calendar of the church. But it's interesting for me as a Palatine, the juxtaposition of those two with Pentecost in between, because it offers a reflection on that Marian dimension of being open to the will of God. And that's really what cynical spirituality is also saying. If we're going to, again, whose will? Our will or that of Christ? Mary was always open to the will of God and did the will of God. And so that gives us our example. Now, there's another piece of this. She also intercedes for us. She's there together with us as the church, which is also that scene from Pentecost. She's present, not just present in a symbolic way. She's present. She's part of the church triumphant in heaven and has been, you know, where she goes, we hope to follow. So that is also, I think, a big part of her role in all of this.
Father, one of the terms and one of the things that maybe our listeners and those of us, those folks who have been involved with the center or have been following the center for some time, we talk about cynical spirituality in the terms of these seven keys to Christ-centered collaboration. We've done some webinars on that. You've written on that a number of times. Could you talk a little bit about how that all works together?
Yes, and I'm finding that there's even more interest in it. A few months back.
Well, it's very buzzy.
Yeah, a few months back. Seven things. They're all with C's, interestingly enough. And they start with Christ. And we always have to be centered on Christ in all that we do and all that we say. A couple of months ago, I was talking with priests out at the Religious Education Congress for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, but also had a general session on the seven keys. And what I have found is that when we talk about collaboration and co-responsibility in particular, people have different ways of looking at that, but you need to put it into a frame that is a God frame, if you will. So the first three keys are very much focused on God, Christ, cenacle, which we've been talking about, as well as communio or communion. We're in communion with the Trinity, and we're in communion as the body of Christ. We're in communion with one another. In fact, we even use the word communion as the word that we say for the Eucharist. And so we're in, you know, so we commune with God in receiving Jesus Christ himself in the Eucharist. And then we have aspects of cooperation, but it's also holy cooperation with God and with one another. Communication, that's prayer, which we've been talking about, but also how we dialogue with one another and what that looks like. Compassion, that there is a love in which we, that's a sacrificial love toward others, that we suffer with others, but we also recognize that we receive the compassion of Christ in and through, and the mercy of Christ in and through when we forgive others, we're forgiven, and we ask God for forgiveness. And then all of those three, so those, the first three are more God-related, the other three are a bit more human-relating. And then the final one, it all leads to co-responsibility and mission, that each of us are responsible for the mission of Christ and his church, which is such a major theme in Palatine spirituality. All of these are derived from Palatine spirituality. None of them are somehow disconnected from that, just as cynical spirituality is. So what we try to do in this is to say, look, these are ways in which you can lead to greater co-responsibility in mission, which the church universally has been talking about now for decades, but in recent times even more, that we all need to be responsible as the baptized for the mission of Christ and his church.
Now, that can be a lofty thing to think about, right? You know, and I think people are certainly, they're hesitant sometimes to say, oh, not I. No. Mm-hmm. That's your job over there, you know, and to flip that mindset and to say to people, well, it's my job, but it's also yours as well. And we work together, you know, that's different.
And we all bring something. That was what I was talking about earlier. We all have some kind of charism, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, gifts and talents that we bring, and they're different. Our contexts are different. The roles that we play are different. So it might be within our family. It might be in our workplace. It might be in some of the ways in which we are interacting. It might be in a school setting. It might be within church. Whatever it might be, we have a mandate from Christ to share in the mission by our baptism. And that we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we've talked about before in a prior podcast, to be able to go forth in, so confirmation. And we have the Eucharist to give us the strength when we have sinned. We have the sacrament of penance to be able to move forward and to cooperate with that grace. So we have all this grace, and then of course the sacraments of marriage and of holy orders as well, that we can cooperate with so that we're able to do this. If we think we're on our own, that's not the case. We're not on our own. And that's really what Cenacle spirituality and the seven keys and so forth are all about. It's that, no, it's not, we're not on our own. But it's, again, it's not our mission, it's Christ. And we need to discern how we will act through prayer and then how do we act on the mission of Christ. It will come differently. Each person, it's going to be different. And that's okay. That's important and that's necessary. It's when we think we don't have a role, and St. Vincent Pallotti was very clear about this, all of us are called to be apostles. And the church, in its official teaching, particularly from the Second Vatican Council on, has been very clear, but it, you know, you're right, Chris. Sometimes there's still that kind of sense of, and it's not that people don't want to. It's just a sense of, I don't know, is this really what I'm supposed to do? And the answer is yes, but it's not going to be the same as somebody else. That's where the discernment comes in. That's where, what does the Holy Spirit want of me?
Well, I hope that our listeners have gained a new appreciation for not only Cenacle spirituality, but co-responsibility, and would encourage you to see how you can take these ideas and implement them into your daily lives, whether that be in your faith life, in your work life. There's lots of practical ways and as for you to implement these ideas to make a difference in your life. And as Father has said, to share in that responsibility of evangelization and being sent on mission. You can find more resources about Cenacle spirituality, co-responsibility, the seven keys to Christ-centered collaboration on our website, catholicapostolatecenter.org. We have resource pages, webinars that you can find there as well for you to dive deeper into these ideas. And if you're interested in perhaps working with the Catholic Apostolate Center on putting some of this in front of, you know, dioceses or organizations or areas in which you are working in, reach out to us through our contact form at our website, again, catholicapostolatecenter.org. You can find more episodes of On Mission as well as our other Catholic Apostolate Center podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Would encourage you to like, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can also find our podcast on our special podcast website, CatholicApostleCenterPodcast.com.